Let the games begin.
Carnage. Carnage.
My name is Khan.
It is indeed, but it's Hassan first and Khan second. And a very warm welcome to the Carnage podcast. Now then, before we go any further, I've got to explain, I'm not copying any cartoon or movie. I have got an intro episode in which I explain what Carnage is going to be all about. But who remembers this?
Hey kiddies, it's Carnage time!
Now I must confess, I never actually watched the cartoons or the movies. So yeah, very much original here. Carnage at your service. Now, for some of these podcasts, I will be joined by co-hosts, and today I'm being joined on the line by Dana, who is in the Middle East. None of this would be possible without the help of some wonderful human beings. Jason Beale for all the technical help and the Zoom. Dana obviously has been helping me out with the art and has kindly volunteered to co-host and host some of these episodes. Of course, a huge thank you to Dina for motivating me and telling me that I should do a podcast. Now, of course, you don't know these people, but hopefully in the episodes to come, you'll learn more about me, Dana, and some of these other people. And last but definitely not least, to one of the best human beings I've had the pleasure of meeting in the last year or so, Mariam. Mariam kindly put the art together, and I think what she did, and if you can see the podcast art, she got the map of the world, ripped up every country, and took a picture of it. You're an incredible human being, and I couldn't thank you enough for what you've done. Now, today's guest is very important. I will say that by every guest, probably. Now, she's a little superstar. And before you hear her interview, I'd love you to go and check out her YouTube blog channel. It is Simran Chawla Blogs. That's SimranChawla Blogs. And of course, I will include the links in the podcasts. And wherever you are getting this podcast from, please do not forget to share, comment, like. Really appreciate that. Anyways, without further ado, why don't we dive straight into it and join my co-host, Dana. What if I said to you, today we're flying to a country that has over 1 billion people population. The IPL is a cricket tournament, the biggest tournament in the world. Bollywood as a film industry is huge. Do you know who I'm on about? What country are we talking about?
China?
No. See, because I said IPL, I know that would throw you. Cricket wouldn't make sense to someone in the Middle East. I'm, of course, talking about India. Look, I think a lot of people think that me being from a Pakistani background, we have rivalry. There's no rivalry. The rivalry exists on the cricket field, and that's it. And that's why I'm really proud that today we're being joined on the line, Dana, by Sudhanshu from India and Simran Chawla. Now, I can't really sum up Simran Chawla's CV within this podcast because she's done an awful lot in her life and we'll be learning more about that. But just to bring you a few highlights, she's a Princess of India 2016 and 17, has brushed shoulders with Bollywood stars and has more jobs than I have hot dinners. So hey, welcome Sudhanshu, how's it going?
Great.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll be learning about what you do. And of course, the lady of the moment, Simran Chawla, welcome.
Hi Hassan, hi Dana. Oh, I'm loving being here, and I just heard your conversation in the beginning, and I'm really proud to be a part of this podcast.
I said, we're so happy to have you here.
Exactly. So there's four of us in this podcast, and it's going to be an exciting chat. Simran, I want to take you back to your childhood. There is perception in the West that it can be difficult for a female to be living in South Asian countries, growing up in what can be construed as a strict culture. But you're not just a female living in India. You have a story to tell. There was a tragedy at the age of 5, I believe. Do you want to take me back to what happened when you were 5 years old?
Yeah, sure. So actually, I was born with normal eyesight, and I was the first child of my parents, and I was leading a, you know, usual life, like everyone leads. I was going to school, and I loved going to school. I loved painting. I loved dancing. So every hobby was my hobby, and I just loved doing those things. But at the age of 5, I don't know, life suddenly changed. I got fever, and it was 3 a.m. at the night when my parents discovered that I was having 103 degrees Fahrenheit temperature, so which was a lot. And they used to give me a medicine in fever, which was not available at that time. It was finished. And the medicine they used to give to my brother, they just asked if they can give me that medicine. They asked from the doctor, and doctor said, yeah, you can give that, because that is a very common medicine here in India, which is called Nimulid syrup. So my parents gave that to me, and the next day I didn't wake up. Maybe, you know, my mom thought that maybe I was resting. And then when she woke me up at 4 p.m. in the evening, my body, it has red sores over my body. It's like, you know, I have got mosquito bites on my body. So they just took me to the doctor, and they said that, you know, we need to admit her. This is something like chicken pox. Some doctor said this is something else, something, you know. Doctors were not actually able to diagnose what it was. Those mosquito bites that were looking like mosquito bites, all of those things turned into burning blisters. It looked like my body had been burned. I was actually on food pipes. I could not eat anything at all. My hair fell off, my teeth fell off, my nails came off. So it was like a nightmare. At the age of 5, I was you know, just left to 15 kgs. After like a month, I got discharged. All those burning blisters and the reaction that had happened on my skin got okay, but all of that affected my eyes. So what exactly happened was the world turned dark for me, and I could not see anymore. So my eyes became dry, and whenever I used to cry, the tears don't come. Even now, the tears don't come. So that's why I just lost the ability to see. And that's how my life changed upside down.
That's extraordinary. That's an extraordinary story in itself. I mean, my first question, I suppose I have so many questions for you, but you getting the medication at that time in the morning, did your parents feel responsible as the first child? Was there blame from other people within the community? How was it dealt with?
No, actually, my family was very supportive throughout. And, you know, there is nothing to blame anyone. You know, even my parents could blame the doctor that they had prescribed that, yeah, yes, you can give this medicine. But, you know, some things are just meant to happen.
Yeah, sure. Now, Dana, you living in the Middle East, as, and I can tell the community, as a sighted young lady, how does that story strike you?
I'm like speechless, to be honest. I don't know. This is crazy. Like, just medicine can change
like
your
syrup.
Life.
Yeah.
Yes. And I don't know, maybe I'm different, but blame on people. So that's the difference. I will blame everybody, to be honest.
But I think that's what helped you, Simran, not blaming anyone, and your family not blaming anyone, to get on with your life. So tell me about your education. How did that change for you? And by the way, did that medication leave you totally blind?
Yes, I cannot see anything, but I have got like 8-9 surgeries done in my right eye. So with that, I can differentiate between the colors with just the right eye. From a very close distance, I can differentiate between the colors. So I know what is red, what is blue, what is yellow. So my world is actually full of colors. I actually recognize or identify people with the color they're wearing. So if I meet you, I'll just, you know, see that Hassan is wearing red. Okay, so whatever person I'll see in the red, I'll say that this is Hassan. So this is how I see things. When I lost my eyesight, my parents were not ready to send me to a blind school because, you know, whenever my relatives or anyone used to suggest that, you know, now you have to send your daughter to the blind school, but my father always used to start crying that, no, I will not send her to the blind school. But then my uncle, rather, so he took my dad and my mom and me to National Association for the Blind in Delhi. And there was this principal of that school who just talked to my parents, and they actually did not realize that he was also visually impaired. They got to know when he opened his Braille watch and checked the time. So then they got to know that this principal is also visually impaired. With his way of talking and, you know, everything, my parents did not actually get to know that he was visually impaired. So that actually changed my parents' mindset that, you know, maybe if we'll educate our daughter, then, you know, she'll also learn a lot of things, and staying at home is not a solution. So they agreed and they sent me to the National Association for the Blind, and I learned Braille and those screen readers, using screen readers, laptop. I learned all of those things there for 1 year. And then I got integrated to a regular school. So there I did my schooling. I had non-medical science in 11th and 12th. And then I did my college in computer science, bachelor's in computer science from Delhi University. And now I'm pursuing master's in psychology.
I told you about this CV. It's extraordinary. That's just your education. Of course, you're a podcaster, a YouTuber, a vlogger, plenty more on that. What were the challenges of growing up as a female who'd lost her sight in the education? Now, you talked about not wanting to go to a blind school originally. What were the challenges in the mainstream education for you? Because I want to be able to compare it to the English and the Western mainstream education.
So any challenge is not big, but you know, they seem big when they are in front of us. First challenge that I faced was I used to write in Braille, and my teachers in the mainstream school did not know Braille. So this was the first disadvantage. So my mom learned Braille, and she used to, whenever I used to come back, she used to see whatever I've written in the Braille, whatever notes I've made. So then she used to transcribe it with a pen below the lines, whatever I've written. And then my teacher used to check the copies, the notebooks that we used to make. So then those teachers used to check. So this was a long process. Then after some time, I learned laptop. So then what I used to do was I used to type notes in the Braille in school. Then I used to go back home, type it on the laptop, get the printouts, attach it with the Braille notes, and then the teachers used to check those things. So that was again a lengthy process. But after some time, I got permission to bring laptop and computers, whatever I wanted to bring to the school. So I started making notes in that. But then other challenge that I faced was when I had this non-medical science stream. So it had a lot of diagrams. You don't know how to make a benzene structure, then chemical formulas. So then I faced a lot of challenges, but teachers were really helpful. They used to draw the diagrams on my hand, and I used to imagine, okay, so benzene structure looks like a hexagon. And, you know, so it all happened with the imagination.
Yeah, but Simran, to anyone listening to this, you make it sound really easy.
What motivated you through all of this? There must have been times when you wanted to lock yourself away.
Yeah, actually, when I lost my eyesight at the very beginning, then I never used to leave my mom. I was always with her. So whenever my mom was not with me, I used to hit my head on the wall. So the motivation factor that you asked my parents.
Okay, Donna.
Yes.
What do you know about beauty pageants and dancing? Because look, I can't dance to save my life. I have two left feet. but of course, we've got the princes of India on the line.
I can't dance either. I love dancing and seeing people dance. It's beautiful. But for me, I cannot dance. So, and beauty pageants, I think I love them. I mean, beautiful girls and beautiful dresses, that's something to look at.
People listening to this who are not visually impaired, like, dancing is difficult as it is, but then how on earth do you do it when you're visually impaired or blind? Where did that passion come from, and how did it lead to you getting to Princess of India?
Okay, so this is my favorite question of all times, and I you would have understood by my voice only that how excited I am to tell this story to you all. So when I could see, I was so much photogenic. I used to love getting clay, trying out different dresses, and it was something, you know, I was interested in from the very beginning. But when I lost my sight, all those you know, dreams, I thought they were shattered. But one day when I was in college, I got an email in my inbox. So I had shared this dream of mine with the general secretary of National Association for the Blind. He actually asked me, what do you want to do in life? So my answer was that I don't want to study. I don't want to do a 9-to-5 job, but I want to do something using, you know, I want to go into entertainment industry. I want to talk to people. I want to entertain people. I want to act. He got to know about this beauty pageant, which was happening especially for visually impaired girls. And I feel that it happened especially for me. There were actually 3 rounds in that. First one was online round, where we had to send our pictures and our profile, sort of a thing. So I had shared those pictures, and I got selected in the 44 girls from India. So this was a national level contest. So this was a Miss India sort of a thing, but for visually impaired girls. Then we had an offline round, which was to be held in Mumbai. And there I didn't know what was going to happen and what I'm going to perform. I didn't know anything. So I thought, let me give a short motivational speech. So I just recited the poem and I give a short motivational speech. The judges liked my voice and they liked the confidence. So I got shortlisted for the final round as well afterwards. And there only 16 girls were shortlisted for the final round. And I was one of them. So I was feeling like now I've come a very, you know, closer to my dream. So then I thought, you know, let's do something unique, something different. If I want to win this pageant, then there should be something challenging. My mom and I thought that let's dance this time. So that was becoming difficult because I had never danced in my life before. And I didn't know, I mean, how to give expressions, how to do hand movements, how to do feet movements. So we were trying to find a choreographer, but everyone said that, how will we teach you? How can we explain the steps? They thought, you know, this is a very difficult process. There were some instructors who said that we will take a trial class and then we'll see. But before even taking the trial class, they used to come back to me and say that we are busy in some other project. We won't be able to dedicate that much of time. So that was becoming difficult. But then finally, we got one choreographer. My mom and I had selected a song from the Bollywood movie named Devdas. And that song was challenging because it, you know, had some props. We could use flowers in that. We could use a diya in the hand to make the dance attractive. So I just told my choreographer that I want to dance on this song. I just took around 4 or 5 classes from him. And then at night with my mom, dad and my brother, I used to practice so that, you know, my steps become clearer. I get expressions because I don't know when to, like how to give a happy expression, where to give sad expression. So that was something that had to come naturally to me in the final round. So I just danced with a diya lamp in my hand. And at the end, there were flowers and I had to take rounds and rounds and rounds and rounds and then face the audience. I got to know that I got 30 out of 30 marks in that dance round, in the talent round. And then we had this ramp walk round and judges asked some questions. So the chief guest of that beauty pageant was John Abraham, the Bollywood star. And I got an opportunity that he asked questions for me. So my dream actually got fulfilled there and then. Then, you know, when the results were being announced, I didn't know who will be the winner. And when the second runner-up was announced, it was not me. Then first runner-up was announced, that was not me. And when the winner was announced, and that was Simran Chawla. So I could not actually believe that, you know, from my ears. And I don't know what to say for that moment. And the next moment, John Abraham, the Bollywood star, was crowning me. And so that is actually, I was on cloud nine. And I don't know how to express that feeling. It gives me goosebumps whenever I'm talking about that moment.
Okay, let me stop you right there, okay? Now, I've interviewed people in the past where people have come on and sort of, well, let me put it bluntly, lied to me about what they've achieved or what they've done. No names, of course. I'm going to be professional, or I'll try anyways. But I think this is an appropriate moment to now go over and listen to the moment you, Simran Chawla, was crowned Miss India, Princess India 2016 and 17 by, well, in the West, we could say, I don't know, Brad Pitt, Ashton Kutcher, any of those guys, by Johnny Abraham. And here it is for you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not lying to you. We've truly gone international on our first episode. But not only that, we've got this little superstar.
I would request John Abraham, sir, to do the honors. So the winner of Princess India 2016-17 by Blind Dream and Dr. Sameer Mansoori is... Bol do. Chalo, bol deta hun. Simran Chawla!
The journey of a thousand miles begins with one step. Good morning, everyone. Standing on such a huge, incredible platform is a big, big achievement for me. I would like to take this opportunity and thank Dr. Sameer Mansoori, Chairman NGO Blind Dreams, for giving me wings in the form of this platform to fly high. I want to be a novelist and a story writer. I even want to do something using my voice, like voiceover dubbing, or acting, or anchoring. I would like to say a few lines at the end. Mushkilon se bhag jana asaan hai. मुश्किलों से भाग जाना आसान है हर पहलू जिंदगी का इम्तिहान होता है मुश्किलों से भाग जाना आसान होता है हर पहलू जिंदगी का इम्तिहान होता है डरने वालों को मिलता नहीं कुछ दुनिया में लड़ने वालों के कदमों में जहान होता है थैंक यू सो वेरी मच एंड हैव अ ग्रेट डे
लाइक वी ऑलवेज से ब्यूटी इज फ्रॉम विद इन एंड नॉट फ्रॉम
जानबूझकर
द आउटसाइड एंड दीस गर्ल्स हैव प्रूव्ड बोथ दैट दे आर ब्यूटीफुल फ्रॉम विद इन एंड दे आर सो ब्यूटीफुल फ्रॉम द आउटसाइड एज़ वेल सो कांग्रेचुलेशंस टू ईच वन ऑफ देम
Right, let's talk about your other interests, which is, of course, your podcast. You're a vlogger, and I'm keen to bring in Sudhanshu in this conversation as well. So tell me a little bit about how that came about and what you're doing.
I am a YouTube blogger. So we do cafes and food blogging here in Delhi. So Sudhanshu and I together visit cafes, and then we shoot the video, show the ambience, order some food, and show the food, tell the prices, everything about that cafe, the speciality of the cafe, what are the unique things that you will get in the cafe. So we talk about all of those things in the video, and then Sudhanshu, the one who edits the video and gives life to the video. So then he creates the thumbnail, and then we upload it on the YouTube.
Currently, I am pursuing my graduation side by side, and also basically I am having some interest into basically movie making and all of that. And I really love to shoot the videos for Simran, and basically I direct the videos and edit that. Basically, I shoot that according to the edits. I imagine the edits and all of that. And other than that, I'm also into basically music production and all of that. I design, I basically sound design and all of that as well. So I really love to do those things. I am exploring my way into graphic designing and all of that as well.
Wow, you're a very useful man to know. I could do with you in my life as well. Simran, I'm going to steal him from you.
Oh, no.
Now, Simran, you, amongst all the jobs, you're also a radio jockey, a podcaster, a vlogger, and I've said all of your CV, I'm selling you well. But to anybody listening to this around the world, whether it's in India or Australia or America, what would one piece of advice would you give to anybody growing up, particularly if they've just lost their sight as well?
We have lost something that is disappointing, and we actually, you know, feel bad about it, but we cannot do anything. So what we can do is we can start focusing on the things that we have rather than focusing on the things that we don't have. So what if we have lost the sight, we cannot see, but we have hands to touch, we have a mouth to speak, we have nose to smell, we have ears to listen, then why don't we, you know, use these four things and do something with it and stop focusing on the negatives in the life that we have. So there are people who see half glass full, half glass empty. So we should always see the positive side. Your one smile can solve all your problems. So your one smile can change the world, and the world becomes easy with your one smile. I have a request for you. Like, when you sent me the voice note on Messenger, and I loved you speaking in Hindi. So if you can speak some lines in Hindi.
Yes, please. Oh, wow. Do that.
So basically, Shah Rukh Khan ne mujhe Hindi sikhaya. So, yeah.
So, India mein kabhi visit kiya aapne?
Yes, India mein visit kiya tha 2012. Main khelta hoon England blind cricket team ke liye. So, we played. Humne World Cup khela tha Bangalore mein in 2012.
Okay. Delhi visit
no,
kiya kabhi?
No, Delhi visit nahi kiya. Delhi abhi visit karna hai kyunki cafes jana
hai. Oh, bilkul. So, kab aare ho Delhi?
Okay. Dana, wasn't that fun? Well, I had fun.
Well, I had fun.
Good, good, good. Well, look, Sudhanshu, Simran, you are both shining stars. And you represent India in the most beautifulest way. You represent the world. And Simran, your words of wisdom, everything you've had to say, not just females around the world and in India, but you're an example to any human being growing up and facing challenges. So I just want to thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot to you.
Thank you, guys.
I'll be back.
Sounds about right.